Very thankful tonight for the privilege and the blessing to be with you. I did not come tonight to take any of Brother Phillips' time. In fact, when he asked me to come, I left my Bible on the pew, and he, as a good brother does, brought it for me. I don't know whether to thank him or to slap him later. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I ask that you pray tonight that the Lord would be in our midst and bless us. I had been just meditating just this afternoon on a particular portion of Scripture found in the second chapter of the book of Daniel. I was thinking, meditating all this week on our wonderful meeting last weekend. This kept coming to my mind about a vision, a dream, not a vision, the dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had. And he asked, when he had this dream, that the magicians and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers and the astrologers of that day to come and interpret the dream for him. And they said, well, that's fine, King. You tell us the dream, and we'll interpret it for you. And if you'll allow me to use my own words, he said, well, that's just the problem. I don't remember the dream. I wonder how many of us have dreams that we remember and that we would like to have an interpretation of. I don't know. I very rarely have a dream that I remember. Scientists say we dream every night. I don't know. I don't remember, but about two every year. But sometimes when I remember them, I try to go back in my mind and say, okay, now I wonder if that means this, or if this part of this dream means that. And I've never been and had any luck in interpreting any dream. But Nebuchadnezzar had a worse problem than that. He not only wanted the interpretation of the dream, he couldn't remember the dream to tell them so they could interpret it. And they told him, Nebuchadnezzar, king, we'll be glad to tell you the interpretation. And they told him in no uncertain terms. In verse 10, they said, there's not a man upon the earth. There's not a man upon the earth that can do, king, what you've asked us to do, to come up with the dream and then give us the interpretation of it. And he said, you better. If you don't, I'm going to cut you to pieces and I'm going to make your houses as dunghills. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had a king tell me that, that might motivate me to come up with something. But they couldn't come up with anything. And so the king went, there was a decree that went out all over the land that the wise men of all of Babylon would be killed. And then the news reached Daniel's ears, and Daniel asked to see the king, and when Daniel asked to see the king, and the king told him what he wanted, and verse 17 says that Daniel, after he found out that what the king wanted, that Daniel went to his house and made the thing known unto Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We know them better as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That they would desire mercies of the Lord of heaven concerning this secret. I just want to make one practical point right there. You know, when we have problems, not if we have problems, but when we have problems in life, who has the answer to those problems? Is it the magicians and the philosophers and the soothsayers and the wise men of this world? Is that who has the answer to our problems? I tell you, their answer was pretty good. King, there is not a man who can answer thee of this matter. Sometimes there's not a man that has the answer to our problems that we go through, to our trials that we face in this life. There is just not a man. Sometimes Dr. Phil don't have the answers. In fact, I'd say very rarely does Dr. Phil have all the answers. Those five women that get on TV and they talk about the problems of the world, and they have everything figured out if people just listen to them, they don't have the answers. But I'll tell you what, when they don't have the answers, Daniel went to the king, and Well, let me back up. Daniel went to the king, and when the king made it known to what he wanted, what did Daniel do? He immediately went to his friends and said, "Buds, I need you to pray for me." I tell you, that's where we need to take our problems, isn't it? That's where we need to take the issues of life that we don't have the answers for. We need to take them to our brothers and sisters in the Lord to say, pray for. You ever done that in life? You ever had a problem in life that was too big and you just went to somebody and said, "I need you to pray for me about this"? I tell you, there is a peace that passes all understanding in that. Some of you have been through health problems. Some of you have been through deaths in the family. When you know that someone's praying for you in those problems, there is a peace that passes all knowledge in that. Daniel, that night, the Bible says that God answered that prayer and gave Daniel the vision. He gave him the dream, and then he gave him the interpretation. And so Daniel came back before the king, I believe, the very next day. And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "King, the secret which the king demanded, cannot the wise men and astrologers and magicians and the soothsayers show unto the king?" King, the thing that you've demanded is too great for the wise men and for the soothsayers and for the magicians of this world. But I want you to notice the next phrase. Daniel said, "But there is a God in heaven." Aren't you glad to know that tonight? That there is a God in heaven, and where the philosophers of this world have no answer, He does. And Daniel proceeded to tell the king the vision. And he told the king, he said, "This is what you saw." He said, "You saw a great image whose brightness was excellent and the form thereof was terrible." In other words, it was frightening. He says, "And the image head was of fine gold, and his breasts and his arms were of silver, and his belly and his thighs of brass, and his legs of iron, and his feet part of iron and part of clay. And then you saw a stone," he said, "was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them in pieces. And then was the iron and clay and brass and silver and gold broken to pieces together, and they became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away, and no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." Now that's the dream. The image, the head of gold, the arm and breast of silver, the thighs and the belly of brass, and the legs of iron, and the feet and the toes were iron mixed with clay. And now he's going to give the interpretation thereof. He says this. He says, "Thou, O king, are a king of kings." Not the king of kings. There's only one the king of kings and Lord of lords, and that's the Lord we've come to worship tonight. But Daniel told King Nebuchadnezzar that you are a king of kings. "For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom and power and strength and glory." And he goes on down and he tells Nebuchadnezzar, he says, "Nebuchadnezzar, thou art this head of gold." By the way, where do kings get their power? The kings get their power right there where Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar he got his power. "God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, strength, and glory." You know where kings of the earth get their power? Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ told Pilate that night, where when Pilate said, "Don't you answer me? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know that I have the power to save your life? And I have the power to take it?" You remember what Jesus said? He said you'd have one of the very few things that he said even that whole night. He said you'd have no power at all except it were given to you by my Father in heaven. You know where the authorities of this world get their power?
They get their power and privilege from none other than God Himself. Now, I'm not saying that every king and every president is elected and chosen by God. I'm not saying that. But they get their authority by God, from God. Don't you know God has everything in control? Aren't you glad that He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords tonight? No matter who the president is tonight, and no matter who the president will be next year, God is in control of the goings-on of this world. And He tells this king that he, the king, is the head of gold. The Babylonian Empire is one of the richest empires that ever lived in world history. Gold upon gold. In fact, there was no historians say that there is no figure for the amount of gold that Nebuchadnezzar accumulated during the Babylonian Empire. And we know from the Scripture that he got a lot of that from God's house when he invaded Jerusalem anyways. And Daniel says, "And after thee, after you, king, there shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee." That was the kingdom of brass. Excuse me, that was the kingdom of silver. And we know, history tells us, after Nebuchadnezzar, there was a man that invaded the Babylonian Empire named Cyrus the Great. And King Cyrus and Darius from the Medo-Persian Empire ruled that land and toppled the Babylonian Empire. That's the kingdom of silver. And then he says after that's going to be an inferior kingdom of brass, which shall rule over all the earth. And we know history tells us that in about the 3rd century or so, maybe the 4th century B.C., that Alexander the Great came through and he wiped out the Medo-Persian Empire. And he ruled over all the earth. In fact, there's a legend, I don't know whether it's true history or not, but there's a story that Alexander the Great went to his tent one night and sat down and wept because there was no more land to conquer. He ruled over all the earth, at the known earth at that time at least. And then he says, "And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron." Now, it's interesting to me that each one of these metals digress in value, gold, silver, brass, and iron. Daniel says they're going to become inferior, but they become stronger in their power. And history tells us this, the exact same. You know, this is amazing to me. This story was told hundreds of years before it ever happened. This is history before it happened. Isn't that wonderful tonight? You and I have history. I'm a history teacher. I love history. I don't know that much. I don't know as much about it as I'd like to, but this is an awesome thing to hear history told before it actually happens. These kingdoms were going to come just in this order, and they were going to be less valuable the more and more the Medo-Persian Empire would be stronger, but be less valuable. In other words, they wouldn't be as rich. The next kingdom of Alexander, it's going to be stronger, but he's not going to have the wealth that Nebuchadnezzar had. This fourth kingdom, we know who toppled Cyrus, or who toppled the Greeks, was the Romans. In about the 1st or 2nd century B.C., the Romans came through, and they ruled with iron. They had the strongest empire of all the world of that time, and probably any other time as well. And then he saw this, that the feet were going to be of iron mixed with clay. That means that it's going to be a little bit weaker at the feet. Iron doesn't mix with clay. Clay doesn't mix with iron. It doesn't adhere. It doesn't stick. I want you to notice a phrase in verse 44. In verse 44, Daniel says this, "And in the days of these kings." What kings? The kings of the empire that he mentioned last. The kings of the empire of the Roman Empire
in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. When's that kingdom set up? Is that a kingdom tonight that we're waiting for? Is that a kingdom tonight that the theologians and the smart men of this world say is coming and is going to reign for 1,000 years? Is that the kingdom that he's talking about there? No, there's a very simple phrase that dispels that argument completely, because Daniel says, in the days of these kings. When did Jesus Christ come and set up his kingdom? I'll tell you when he came. He came in the days of these kings. He came during the Roman Empire. He says, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. What happened with all of those kingdoms? Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom was destroyed, wasn't it? Cyrus's kingdom, the Persian Empire, was destroyed. We read about them in the history books, but they had an ending date. Alexander, the Greek Empire ended, and the Roman Empire. They've all ended. But I want you to know tonight that you and I have a kingdom that we're a part of by God's grace, that came along in the days of these kings. When your king entered the earth, he set up a kingdom that the Bible says shall never be destroyed. Aren't you glad to be a part of a kingdom that the Bible says will never be destroyed? Now, America may have an end one day. I hope not. But America may follow it may be in the history books and follow the line of the kingdoms of the earth. America may come to an end. But you and I tonight are part of a kingdom that the Bible says shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. You and I tonight are part of an everlasting kingdom. I love what Isaiah said in the prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. Now, who's that talking about? It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says that, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Tonight we are part of that everlasting kingdom. Your King of Kings and Lord of Lords is ruling and reigning tonight. And there will be no other bigger power to topple the kingdom that you and I live in and enjoy tonight. The Bible says, remember when the Lord Jesus Christ told Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church. He wasn't talking about Peter, was he? No, he wasn't talking about Peter. He was talking about himself. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We are living and enjoying in the everlasting kingdom of our great God. And it shall be no end. And one day, the Bible tells us that He's going to come back. And He's going to deliver that kingdom to His Father. And we will all be united as royal subjects to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm looking for that day, aren't you? No matter what happens in the presidential election next year, no matter what happens with the rogue rulers of North Korea and Iran, I'm not concerned about what goes on over there, but we don't have to be worried about that, because you and I serve a king who's in control of those kings, And we're in a kingdom tonight that shall be no end. Blessed be His name tonight. May God bless you.